He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, would you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tar Heel.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
You are on a Tuesday Drive, WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad. And happy True TV Awareness Day to all that celebrate. That's where all the games are going to be broadcast tonight. The NCAA tournament beginning with the first four, which includes an ACC game that we'll get to shortly. But we'll get to it shortly because a front runner has emerged for the Carolina Panthers to take with the number one pick, and that's Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud. Ever since the trade was made on Friday, two questions have been asked to me since then. Why did the Panthers trade DJ Moore? Why did they give up so much, essentially? And who is Carolina going to take with that pick? I believe it's going to be C.J. Stroud, and this is why. It might be a tell that this trade happened right after the scouting combine. Now, why is that a tell? Well, Stroud had the best workout of all the quarterbacks in Indianapolis. In fact, former App State quarterback, NFL draft lead analyst Daniel Jeremiah in real time was saying, this is one of the best workouts I've ever seen. That's how good Stroud was in his on-field workout. Well, who's to say that Bryce Young wasn't just as good? Don't forget, Bryce Young was the only quarterback out of the QBs that participated in Indianapolis in interviews and working out in the on-field portion that decided not to throw. He said he was going to wait until his pro day. Now, ask yourself this question. Would they have given up everything that they gave up to get the number one pick? DJ Moore, a couple of ones, including the number nine pick, a couple of second round picks. Would they have done all that without having seen Bryce Young throw up close? They saw CJ Stroud. They didn't see Bryce Young. We're going to have to wait for his pro day in order for that to happen. If you're a skeptic, if you're still not sold on that, if that's not enough logic for you, you're thinking, Josh, Bryce Young might have been the best quarterback the last 2 years at Alabama. The tape speaks for itself. The draft, the underwear Olympics, as our friend Ryan McGee calls Indianapolis, that doesn't have much sway on me. I still think they could take Bryce Young with the number one pick. If that's not convincing of enough of an argument for you, listen to new Panthers quarterback coach Josh McCown breaking down the QBs, because this is kind of amazing. I've never seen this before. Josh McCown did 30-plus minute breakdowns just a couple of weeks before he was hired as Panthers quarterbacks coach on both Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. He also did one on Kentucky quarterback Will Levis that you can find online. Josh Norris, who does a great job on all things draft-related subjects, he had Josh McCown break down these quarterbacks extensively. And it's a fun watch to see what McCown might think. And it's relevant because he's the quarterbacks coach of the Carolina Panthers now. This is just a few weeks before he was hired. And listen to the way he talked about Stroud.
Physically, without doing the deep dive of, you know, who he is as a person and talking to his coaches and getting to know really C.J. Stroud all the way around. Physically, as I watch him, I think his skill set is very similar to Joe Burrow. Okay, I think that would be the guy in the NFL and, you know, fellow one-time Buckeye that I would look at and go, okay, he about same size, same frame, same kind of arm talent, moves the same way physically.
He reminds me of Joe Burrow, who every team in the NFL wants. Other than Patrick Mahomes, if you asked any team in the NFL, you can have one quarterback in the league, not named Patrick Mahomes, who do you take? They'd all take Burrow. They'd all take Burrow right now.
Joe Scheisty.
And C.J. Stroud reminds Josh McCown, the Panthers quarterbacks coach, of him? Okay, let's get to what he had to say about Bryce Young, though.
the fastest way to get the ball from point A to point B is to throw it. So you got to be able to do that from the pocket. You have to. It's a requisite in this league, and especially at his size. You know, to think that you're going to come in and make a living running around and doing what we showed, you know, in that first section of plays, it's just hard to sustain for 17 games. And so that's going to be an issue. All right. So you're going to have to throw from the pocket.
That's going to be an issue. His size, stuff that he did running around in the SEC, that might not work across 17 games. And if he was taken number one, he'd be the smallest quarterback ever taken with the number one pick. While a guy, the Panthers quarterback coach just described to say, reminds him of Joe Burrow, is there on the board. Stroud has more tools. And Carolina, David Tepper, Frank Reich, they put together this all-star coaching staff that they paid a fortune for. Jim Caldwell on the offensive side. Sean McVay's right-hand man is the OC in LA. Reich himself, McCown. You put all these guys together who have backgrounds in coaching quarterbacks to find them a talent with these types of tools that you can develop. I don't think they're going to pass up on that. Stroud has the tools, and Bryce Young, it's a big knock, his size. That's going to be something that's used against him. And don't say, well, what about the Ohio State quarterback issue? Not a lot of great quarterbacks have come out of Ohio State. Justin Fields, I think, put that one to rest. Carolina, they wouldn't have had to trade all of this to get a quarterback if they would have just taken Justin Fields a couple years ago, number 8 in the draft. If they did that rather than taking J.C. Horn, you wouldn't have to do all this. So it's just fitting that the Panthers finally get their quarterback by taking the guy who came after Justin Fields. It's just fitting that that's what it's going to be, I think. C.J. Stroud, he's the likely quarterback that Carolina traded up to take at number one. We'll get Darren Gant's thoughts on it, though. Panthers.com, Hall of Fame voter. He'll be here in about 20 minutes or so. Will Dalton, the executive producer of this show, is wearing a Panthers toboggan in studio today.
What a coincidence.
Which you can find, you can see his toboggan on YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. We put out video for those who don't know. We stream live video that you can find at all those places. Make sure to subscribe, rate, do all those things. On Twitter at WSJS Radio is where you can chime in on the show. Now let's transition back to college basketball. And as we do so, I'm going to try and do something here I've never attempted, and I don't think has ever been attempted in sports radio. I'm going to try and make a SpongeBob analogy. Yes, the kid show SpongeBob. There is a meme that is popular on the internet when somebody does something that's unpopular. When somebody keeps making the same mistake, there's like a fish character that has his arm outstretched in the air in anger that expresses this sentiment. How many times are we going to have to teach you this lesson, old man? Ah! And that's how I feel about the ACC continually getting snubbed by the NCAA. This is me yelling out to the college basketball world, how many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man? Because for the second year in a row, the ACC is going to have to teach the nation a lesson in March. Clearly, last year wasn't enough. Or maybe they don't give the Big Ten Conference 8 teams this year. You know, the conference that no living college basketball player was alive for the last time they won a national championship. No active basketball player was alive in 2000 when Michigan State last won. Let's give them 8 teams. Even though last year the ACC was given 5. And what did they do with that 5? 3 in the Elite Eight, 2 in the Final Four, 1 leading at halftime by 16 points in the national championship game. So what did they do a year later? There are 2 teams that were right there on the first 4 outline that they decided to bump out, Clemson and North Carolina, and the ACC was left with 5 again. Got to teach them that lesson all over again. And all 5 have paths, I think, to the second weekend. Miami, assuming that Omer is well enough to play, their toughest competition in their bracket is Indiana. Going back to the Big Ten thing, I will take Miami over the Hoosiers in round two. NC State is paired in a bracket with teams who don't play a lot of defense. NC State's probably thinking, great, neither do we. If we're going to get into a scoring fest, Creighton's best player is a rim protector? Okay, see what you do with DJ Burns and these two guards, Baby T and Tre'Quavion Smith. Watch out for the Pack on the 40-year anniversary of their last national championship. Virginia is a top four seed, which means they should be favored to get to the second weekend. They will be higher seeded than the two teams that they would play if they win their first game in order to get to the second weekend. Duke, they're looking like they're going to play a hobbled Tennessee team in round two that before their starting point guard got hurt, struggled to score. And without him, they're not long for March. They might match up with Purdue. Again, Big Ten, not really that concerned about them. And Duke has the bodies inside to deal with Zach Edey. But it all starts with Pitt tonight. First four, True TV. Happy True TV Awareness Day. I think they beat Mississippi State, who shouldn't be in the field. And then they're going to be sent to Greensboro. And they'll become the darlings of Greensboro because they'd be the only ACC team there. And people will get behind Jeff Capel and we'll get behind this group that we've watched during the year and we'll root on the ACC. If they beat Iowa State, which is known for their defense, Pitt, one of the older teams in all of college basketball, they're capable of grinding out a win in that situation. They're likely going to get Xavier in round two. And Xavier is without their top guard. I'm told guards win in March, and Pitt has a handful of good ones. The crowd will be behind Pitt if they play Xavier, so I like their chances in that spot too. And that's the team that's playing, once again, in a play-in tonight in the first four. For the second year in a row, the ACC's in the same position. You're going to doubt us? Okay. We'll teach you a lesson when it matters most in the month of March. And here's to hoping that a year from now, we're not having this same stupid conversation.
You're on the Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
Before we get to Darren Gant, Panthers.com, our state's Hall of Fame voter for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, a quick word from our friends at Modern Chevrolet. A word that we continue to tell you about in regards to them is family. Now, what does that mean, Graham? We hear people say that all the time, and it makes us roll our eyes when people continually do so. Well, this is what it nets you, family at Modern Chevrolet. Everywhere you look, you see folks who have been there for 10, 15, 20 years, sometimes even more than that. I bought a car from Modern a few months ago, and the person who helped me out had been there for, I think, a dozen years. And I can speak personally, outstanding service as a result. Complete satisfaction. You didn't really feel like you were being sold on buying a car, which you often hear is a nightmare when you're going to car dealerships. No, you feel like you get a chance to do something. You get a chance to buy something. Go to the dealership today and have the same experience, 5955 University Parkway in Winston-Salem, and experience yourself, that being the Modern Chevrolet difference. Now we're being joined by Darren Gant from Panthers.com, Hall of Fame voter, as I mentioned. In the last week, Carolina made our jobs a lot more interesting for the next month and a half or so. Everything in regards to draft now going to be observe through the lens of what Carolina is going to do with the number one pick. Spoiler, it's going to be a quarterback. Do you think the Panthers know which guy they're taking today at number one?
No, and why would they? They're more than 6 weeks away from that process. Just to kind of put it in some context with you, when they went looking for a head coach, how many guys did they interview? They interviewed nine. When they interviewed for a GM last time, they interviewed 14 guys before choosing Scott Fitterer. He was the guy. So I think this time they are going to make sure that they are careful about this thing. They're going to do all the work. They're going to talk to Bryce Young. They're going to talk to C.J. Stroud. They're going to go see Will Levis. They're going to go see Anthony Richardson. And I said that in the order of their pro days, not any other order. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, they are going to go through this thing deliberately. They're going to do all their research. They're going to turn over every rock on all four of these guys and make sure they're taking the right one. When you give up what they gave up to get there, that's your job. It's incumbent on you to do that.
What you're saying makes all the sense to me. You put together this terrific staff that David Tepper invested in. It just had the writing written on the wall that you'd want to bring in a young quarterback for this staff to do their thing, to let the chefs cook, so to speak. But I can hear the counter of people listening to this conversation right now saying, wait a minute, you just gave up DJ Moore and all these draft picks without knowing for sure what guy you actually want at number one?
You can lean a certain way. You can think that that list of four might be too deep, or maybe it's three deep, or you might even have a one, but you owe it to yourself to have a thorough process. And I think honestly, as David Tepper's gone through this thing, you know, he's learned some things about what it takes to hire a coach or go find a quarterback. And there's a lot of quick knee-jerk reactions that in hindsight, maybe you wish you would have done over. And I think now they're kind of at a point where they want to go through this thing deeply and thoroughly and make sure they've got the guy. I mean, there's no harm. I mean, I think some people say, oh, you don't know who your guy is, as if that's a bad thing, because we've confused certainty and adamance with a certain conviction. And I think it's, you know, the other way around. I think curious people will want to find out as much as they can about all these guys and make sure they're right, rather than just insisting that they're right now without any degree of evidence.
Carolina gave up DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey last year.
Yep.
Some are wondering, well, who's this quarterback going to be throwing to hypothetically? And my concern, I'm not that concerned about that. I've come to learn following this league for a while now, there are two positions it's really incredibly hard to find talented players on the open market at.
Yeah.
Offensive linemen, which Carolina last night locked up, Bradley Bozeman, so they'll have all their starters back, and you wrote about that at Panthers.com. People should check that out. And then it's really hard to find quarterback. So it didn't surprise me at all Carolina gave up all that they did to ensure they have their pick of the litter and getting a dude at quarterback, knowing that they already had the offensive line piece figured out of this as well. How concerned are you, Carolina, with that second round pick they have, and also the money now they have in free agency, is going to be able to find weapons that this quarterback will be paired with?
Listen, I think it's fair to be concerned about who those guys are going to be, but it's so early in that process. Again, you're talking about they've still got the 39th pick and the 93rd pick, I think it is, off the top of my head, without referring to our charts at Panthers.com for that. You've got the opportunity to tap into a pretty deep class of wide receivers. There's still, actually, one of the things I'm kind of curious about through the first, 26, 27 hours into the negotiation period, none of those top couple of tight ends have done anything yet. So I'm a little curious to see. Darren Waller got traded today, but Darren Waller's old and expensive and has been hurt a lot. So I think a lot of people see that and they're like, oh, what are they doing? Well, you know, he's on the wrong side of 30, hasn't been terribly available, and he's expensive. Not everybody's going in for that. But there's still a couple guys in Gesicki and you're putting me on the spot. Dalton Schultz, who haven't gotten deals in the last 10 minutes at least. So they're still out there. I think there's some other names they're curious about, but it's still so early in this process. I would also suggest a lot of contracts are built with guarantees that are effective 2 days, 3 days into the league year. So by Friday, Saturday, you'll see some movement on guys probably who will become available in a little bit who might not be available now. So I would just say there's a degree of patience in this thing. Even though DJ was a wide receiver, there's a big glaring hole at wide receiver. I think it's worth being patient on that thing because I keep going back to Cam Newton's first year. What did they do for him when he was a rookie? They trade for Greg Olsen, and they go sign Jeremy Shockey to back him up. Now, there's not a Greg Olsen available right now. I think Dalton Schultz is pretty good, but he's not a Greg Olsen-level player. But I think if you go out and find a tight end now or maybe in the draft and then put him together with some of the odd parts you're collecting through free agency, I think there's still an opportunity to have that because, as you mentioned, the biggest thing for whoever this quarterback is, whether it's Bryce, whether it's CJ, whether it's any of the rest of them, is he's got Bradley Bozeman snapping it to him. He's got Ikem Ekwonu and Taylor Moten on either side and two pretty good guards in the middle, even though Austin Corbett's coming off an ACL. So I think that part of it is bigger than, oh my gosh, who at 3:42 on March 14th is the wide receiver.
And Brady Christensen coming off an injury as well in the regular season finale. Darren Gant with us. The Panthers are one more trade away from not having any picks on Friday and you being able to go to Merlefest with me to watch the Avett brothers.
Ooh.
So that's something to root for, I think.
Yeah, tell me more. tell me more about taking a day off during the draft. That's kind of the dream, I think, if you're covering a draft. If you could have only the first pick, you know, the Saints beat writers back in the days with Ricky Williams, that was a perfect draft to cover. It was a really interesting story right out of the chute. And then, all right, we'll see y'all.
WD is putting together a skips or plays with Hayes playlist for Hayes Permar. And he told me since Kentucky's coming to town for the NCAA tournament, it's going to be all Kentucky artists.
We got to celebrate. We have to.
Going to be fantastic having all the Kentucky people around here. Had me thinking about
Sturgill, right? Heavy Sturgill in that list?
You have to think. Is bluegrass, country, or rock star Sturgill Simpson your favorite Sturge?
All of the above. I love that he contains multitudes. I love that he is both at the same time. That's why would you want to be one or the other when you can be both?
Mm.
The rock and roll album, the concept anime movie, that was good Sturgill. I like that.
I knew it was good when Mick Mixon.
Album's good too.
Yeah, the weekend that came out, I knew it was good when Mick Mixon came up to me, former voice of the Panthers, and said, "Hey, have you heard this? You heard this?" I'm like, all right, this is how I know it's pretty good and that Sturgill has broke through a bit. Any big shows on the horizon for you?
Boy, I don't know. Hey, like I said, it's been kind of a busy month between Combine and catching a little COVID and coming back and having a little trade for the first pick dropped in your lap. Feels like I've been in football mode trying to sketch out all these pro days coming up starting next week. So it feels like March is a little bit of a lost month, but I got to get back out there.
Yeah, league year starts tomorrow. Then after that, you can get a nap. Darren, thanks for the time. It's good to see you, buddy.
One of these days, see y'all.
Check this out.
We're on at 5.
The perfect blend of sports and pop culture happens this evening at 6 with the Rich Eisen Show.
Okay, let's get this show rolling. Hit it.
Now back to the drive with Josh Graham.
My final four picks, my national championship prediction in about 10 to 15 minutes. But it is True TV Awareness Day, True TV Awareness Week, as the only time sports fans watch this channel is when NCAA tournament games are on, including the first four, Pittsburgh facing Mississippi State with a chance to advance to Greensboro, hanging in the balance. WD, if you continue to watch True TV, you might watch great shows like Adam Ruins Everything. That sounds pretty good. Impractical Jokers, anyone? Tacoma FD? That sounds great. How about the True TV original Top Secret Videos, which has some guy waving like a nerd in the picture, standing next to another guy who looks just like Louis C.K. Is he back on TV? Find out on True TV. We have the broadcast schedules for the NCAA Tournament Regional Games in Greensboro. The first game on Friday afternoon will be at 12:40 Kennesaw State and Xavier. That's 12:40 in the afternoon, by the way. 12:40 tip. It's the second game that's going to go that day. Following this game will be Pittsburgh and Iowa State just assuming that Pitt wins against Mississippi State tonight. That's what we call optimism in the biz. Give me some of that March Madness music. Let's jazz this thing up a little bit. It's the start of the tournament. The tournament starts today. Just inject it into my veins. There's no theme music that gets me more excited for college basketball than March Madness. Yeah!
Ah!
Give it to me! I'm right here! Kill me! So yes, Kennesaw State, Xavier, followed by Pitt, Iowa State, and then the nightcap. Both those games, you're not going to believe this, WD. They're going to be broadcast on True TV.
Let's go!
Those first two games.
Look at
so
that.
If you don't have True TV, Piedmont Triad, listen to my voice right now. Get your butt to the Coliseum. If you don't have True TV and you want to watch Xavier play Kennesaw State or Pitt play Iowa State, we hope, Pitt. You got to be in the Coliseum to give that a watch. And then the big crowd going to show up for 7:10. Kentucky facing Providence. West Durham was with us yesterday saying, Providence is going to bring some people. All right. We shall see. The nightcap, hopefully, will start at 9:40. That's generous. If that game tips off a minute before 9:45, color me shocked. That's UC Santa Barbara and K-State. So this is the question I have for the triad today. Which game will attract a bigger crowd in Greensboro Friday? Xavier, Kansas State at 12:40 in the afternoon, or Kansas State, Montana State after the Kentucky game, which they say is going to tip at 9:40, but probably closer to 9:45, 10 o'clock. 60% of the poll that I put out on Twitter that you could vote on at Josh Graham Radio says the night game, K-State and Montana State. And I think I agree with that. And this is my logic. Kentucky fans have bought tickets to both games.
It's true.
They're going to stick around for the second game. And secondarily to that, it's Friday night. We're not working tomorrow.
That's a good point.
Yeah, we're not working tomorrow. We could stay up late. It's fine.
Let's go.
And K-State, they got fans. Montana State apparently has fans. I was in Greensboro just a couple weeks and weekends ago hanging out with a Montana State Bobcat fan. They hate the Grizz in Montana. Don't bring up the Grizz when you're around Montana State folks this week, Greensboro. So we got the broadcast schedule. Here's the crew that's going to be broadcasting the games. Ian Eagle, Jim Spanarkle, and Evan Washburn. Spanarkle has history in the Greensboro Coliseum. Former Duke Blue Devil. He was on the teams right before Coach K arrived and won an ACC title and an ACC tournament MVP inside the Greensboro Coliseum. That was his junior season in 1978. 79, he went back to the championship game, lost to North Carolina. So he knows the building well. Ian Eagle, who we've had on this show several times, he is going to be the one replacing Jim Nance after this season as the lead play-by-play man for the NCAA tournament. But even though Orlando probably stole the tournament, that the regional we should have had here in Greensboro, our city's going to make it great. I have no doubt about that. Earlier today, I was invited to speak at the Piedmont Triad Sports Club. We were at Kickback Jacks in Greensboro, and I'm so appreciative to those who came out, who listened to the show, who listened to me speak, put up with 45 more minutes of me speaking. But one thing I pointed out to them is this area, not pandering, loves college basketball more than any area across the country. Full stop. And we can chart that. Just go ahead and look at the ratings books. For the Final Four and for the national championship game, the last 10 years, and you will see on every single one of those, Greensboro, High Point, Winston-Salem appear. Because we love college basketball, even when our teams aren't involved. There's no reason why, when Texas Tech is in their first ever national championship game, more people, percentage-wise, in this area were watching that game than watching in Lubbock, Texas. That shouldn't happen. And it did. Speaks to how much. And maybe we're looking at this the wrong way. Maybe we shouldn't look at the NCAA giving Orlando those teams as a sign of disrespect to Greensboro. Maybe we should look at it as a sign of respect that they can send teams that aren't even within 5 hours drive of it and know they don't have to worry about a draw. Kentucky fans, they're going to show up. As much as we're annoyed by Kentucky fans, we respect how they show up in volume, in mass. We get that. But I mean the other games that I'm talking about. That 9:45 tip, that 12:40. There are going to be people in the building for that. And there are going to be folks here in the triad that simply love college basketball and want to support it. So maybe we're looking at this the wrong way. People are going to be there, and there are going to be a lot of people from a lot of different places that otherwise never even thought to visit Greensboro, North Carolina, who are going to experience the Gate City for the first time. And I guarantee you they're going to have a great experience because the folks at the Coliseum, they are top-notch. The way that we handle tournaments, the way that we support these things, the way local businesses support it, that's going to be, it's going to be a fantastic week no matter what. In fact, we're going to be broadcasting shows 10 a.m. to noon Thursday and Friday since we're going to be carrying the tournament, Westwood One's coverage throughout those days, including a broadcast from Steel Hands on Friday from 10 a.m. to noon, so you could see us across the street at the Coliseum before walking in to watch that 12:40 game that we're talking about, that first one. My final four picks and my national championship prediction. Next on The Drive.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
Oh. Thank you, sir. May I have another? March! We sleep in May! I've got picks here. My bracket is completed. I'll post the entire thing on my social media at Josh Graham Radio, Twitter, and Instagram shortly. In terms of big upsets that I have, I've got a 10, an 11, a 12, a 13, a 14, and a 15 winning round one games, and a 13 seed, Furman, going to the Sweet 16. So I'm stocked. I'm fully stocked on upsets. Colgate is my 15 seed. Three straight years, we're going to get it, I think. Last year, we saw the Peacocks, St. Peter's make that run, but it started with beating a 2 seed. And the year before that, it was Oral Roberts taking down Ohio State. Colgate. I've always been a Colgate guy. Crest, get out of here. Colgate, that's where it's at. Taking down the Horns. Horns down. But let's advance things to the Elite Eight. That's where we're going to start here. I've got my Elite Eight picks that we'll do all the way through to the national championship. And we start in the top left South region, where this is as chalky as my bracket gets. The number one seed Alabama facing the number two seed Arizona. Arizona, red hot, just won the Pac-12 championship. Alabama, the tournament's overall number one seed. WD, I believe in a thing called basketball karma. We saw it with Wake Forest taking down Syracuse, ending Jim Boeheim, and it happening in Greensboro. And I think basketball karma is going to strike in the Elite Eight. There's way too much smoke surrounding this Alabama program right now. They will not get to Houston. Arizona will. It's a shootout. Both these teams probably shouldn't have said that with Alabama being the team. It's a high-scoring game. Yeah, we'll just edit that out in post. It's not like we're live or anything. Arizona is the team that goes to Houston. I'm sorry about that. To the East region, bottom left region, we've got 5-seed Duke facing second-seeded Marquette. These two teams, WD, I don't know if you know this, have the longest winning streaks among high major teams heading into the tournament. Both have won 9 in a row. Duke's just a little bit hotter, in my opinion, because it should be 10 in a row. It should be a win against UVA in Charlottesville if Filipowski's allowed to go to the free throw line. I think Duke's just a really tough draw to face on short rest, to face on a two-day prep. That length is going to bother a lot of teams. And Duke has first-round talent all across its roster. The good vibes continue for the Blue Devils. They're on to their second consecutive Final Four. To the top right Midwest region, we have that Texas matchup that everybody's looking for in the Elite Eight, except it's not featuring the Longhorns, as I mentioned, first-round loss to Colgate. It's Houston against Texas A&M. And for folks who don't know the city of Houston at all, how sports fans generally work there, yes, the Longhorns matter all across the state, but actually the two most popular teams in that city from a college sports perspective, Texas A&M and Houston, who's in the city. So you're going to get one of those two teams to Houston, Texas, for the Final Four. And I think it's going to be the 7 seed. I think it's going to be Texas A&M. Buzz Williams has a wagon this year. They go to what's going to feel like essentially a home game at the Final Four in Houston. And then to wrap things up, I think this is the easiest path a 1 seed has. I don't have any other 1 seeds going to the Final Four. Kansas facing TCU. I think TCU is going to make a run. Love them out of the Big 12. Certainly battle tested. So you have an all Big 12 Elite 8 matchup. Kansas wins that to go to the Final Four trying to protect or repeat as national champions from last year. There's my Final Four. Arizona, Duke, Texas A&M, and Kansas. Let's dive into these matchups. Arizona-Duke. This is where I think the Blue Devils get toppled. Arizona just has too much offense. Now, I do worry about playing in these big football stadiums, teams that rely so much on scoring because of depth perception, and generally you see scoring go down. But I think Arizona will have just enough, and Duke will be the one struggling to shoot in that spot. The Wildcats on to the national championship game. And I'm going to keep riding the wave with A&M. A lot of familiar names. Henry Coleman transferring from Duke. You've got Radford, who transfers in from Virginia Tech, who's an excellent guard that they have. I love this A&M team. They roll like 10 deep. Buzz Williams is a fantastic coach. They upset Kansas in what will feel like a home game for them in Houston to go to the championship game. Arizona and Texas A&M face off, and I'm going to go with the Wildcats. Arizona, with their offense, with a great coach in Tommy Lloyd, they were tempted to hire Damon Stoudemire, who's an Arizona alum, a couple of years ago, opted for the longtime Gonzaga assistant instead. It wasn't the most popular thing at the time. It worked out for them, and they're going to be rewarded with a national championship. Arizona over Texas A&M in Houston on April the 3rd, on the final Monday of March.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
Down on Kansas, or will they go down in flames? Do I like West Virginia, or is it Notre Dame? Got a 10 seed in the finals, don't tell me I'm insane. Even though I blame the players, if they lose this game, the journey always gets
Song's
bouncy.
A banger. Oh, harmonizing. So Ace Fermar's Blank Brackets. Anytime you cover Taylor Swift, we'll play it on this show. Hayes Fermar joining us to play Skips or Plays with Hayes. How's your bracket looking?
Unstarted, uncompleted yet. I haven't even begun to fill it out. I mean, I'll do it in 45 seconds from start to finish. So I can do it, you know, whenever, Thursday right before noon. But no, I've not even started doing it. That's how turned off I am by college basketball.
He's approached it just like these great musicians always talk about how their greatest hits, like a Blank Brackets, for example, just comes to them in 45 seconds, and you're able to perform a masterpiece. That's what I took away from the Get Back Beatles documentary, where just there was one moment where Let It Be was not a song, and then there was another moment where Let It Be was a song, and we got to see that in real time.
100%. I let the bracket come to me. There is an element of, you know, I mean, you as much as anyone else, I don't think, I'm not going to give you credit for being smarter than anyone else, Josh Graham, but you will spend as much time watching games, reading articles, looking at metrics as anyone else, and you know that that will have zero effect on exactly how well you're
No, no, no. I disagree. I think it actually is, it hurts you. It doesn't even, it's not even in net neutral because I've watched, and I've made this point before, I've watched probably 50 of these 68 teams play, but the little guys, I've maybe watched a half of. I've watched a game or two. What if somebody was out that I didn't know about? What if they were just a lot better that day than they've been all year long, or a lot worse, conversely, when I watched? You're kind of, your biases are your biases, and if that's my, if that one sample influences my opinion, well, that's it. Like, I watch this team play, and it hurts me more than somebody who can say, I never watched Furman play, so I can a lot easier just pick Virginia through to the next round.
You know what I think would be an interesting study is, like, what if, you know how in chess you can describe moves as, like, you know, pawn from A1 to B3 or whatever, like the squares are numbered. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, like, every year the bracket looks the same. Like, there's four quadrants, a 5 is going to play a 12 in the first round or whatever, whatever. What if just every year you said, I'm going to keep my combination the same. Like, I'm picking a 13 over a 4 in the Midwest. I'm picking the one seed all the way in the South and the East. I pick, you know, like, you don't even look at teams. You just say, every year, this is how my entire bracket's going to line up seed-wise. And then when they fill out the bracket, you just enter that into your teams and mark that against how you do with another bracket where you actually try and pick the teams. I'd be curious to see which one would do better.
Hayes Permar with us here. We're going to play Skips or Plays with Hayes in a moment, but I want to get your thought on the draw that Greensboro received. Not the conspiracy stuff of, hey, on the screen, Greensboro flipped to Orlando at the last second, or Orlando got the regional that should have been in Greensboro with Duke, Tennessee, and Virginia all being sent there. But more so, do you think Greensboro, there's two ways to think about this, and I wonder what school you fall in here. You can view this as the NCAA completely disrespecting Greensboro by giving them all schools that are from far away, 5-hour drive, I think is the closest team, and it's Kennesaw State, with Kentucky being the draw. Or you can look at it as them having a lot of respect for Greensboro, and just every year how the ratings books come out, and regardless of who's playing in the Final Four, Greensboro, High Point, Winston-Salem's in the top 10, they're going to show up to watch whatever team show up, and they're going to be accommodating. They're going to be great. The Gate City's going to show well regardless and have good attendance. Where do you fall on what the NCAA is giving Greensboro?
It's interesting the way you describe the options. I maybe go with the latter there. Yeah, I think, like, obviously, however the NCAA selection process goes, you know that they had earmarked, okay, our top seed in Greensboro will be probably either North Carolina, Duke, Virginia, or maybe NC State as the season was going on at some point. They may have considered that. And, like, that was who they were hoping to put there. And then without knowing all the moving parts, I don't think you can go total conspiracy theory because, yes, like, from a ticket sales, from a local interest, putting Duke there obviously works. But then there hits the, you don't want to have a what happened to the NC State women last year where some team gets totally screwed where they're supposed to be a higher seed and they end up having to play an away game versus Duke, and they end up complaining about that seeding. So likely some of those things were at play, but I think it's like more of a respect factor of like, yeah, none of the top teams made it. And then, I mean, anytime they give you Kentucky, I feel like it's like, you know, at all the other places they're trying to do the work, the puzzle of what are the best local teams to put here that fit seed-wise that get us the best fan interest. And once they stick Kentucky on your side, they're like, all right, we don't think about any of the other B or C options. It's like, if you got Kentucky, we know you're selling X number of tickets. In this case, it was probably Kentucky coupled with hot college bed, traditional market, and we know it'll do fine, so we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I think that's my read on it as the week's gone on. Now let's get to Skipster plays with Hayes, which, hitting on Kentucky again, is Kentucky-themed.
Hayes Permar is somewhat of a Renaissance man, an expert in the finer things, but he hangs his hat on music.
Loves his God, and he's no friend of Satan.
He was like, oh, six, getting busy with his sticks, been watching Big Mike and Lil Trick and Trip.
I just need a Zion and someone he can dunk on.
Today, Hayes will decide if this music is smash or trash, glows or blows. It's time for Skips or Plays with Hayes.
Hayes, I might make you middleman to try and get Matt Jones on the show, since I know you know Matt. I don't view anything. There's no bad blood between me and Matt. It's just Kentucky fans that I think are obnoxious and I disdain. So I wonder how that would go if you could help me extend an olive branch to our guy Matt.
Well, you're a thick-skinned radio host. I mean, Kentucky fans aren't going to rattle you, right? And like I said, I won't say I heard every minute of everything that you or Matt said about each other, but I think it was mostly respectful, even if jabs were taken. I'll touch base with them, and I'll coordinate with Will Dalton, and we'll just see if Matt Jones can just call in at a random time just to say what's up.
Wow,
now that would be fun.
I don't know if I'm a fan of that. I don't like surprises, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. WD, you've got Kentucky themed here. See, this is us starting to extend the olive branch since they're coming to town.
We're here to celebrate.
We're
going to
be cordial here in the Gate City. I've got Kentucky getting through to the round of 16, so I think they'll win twice in Greensboro. This is me trying to make amends with people that might have been hurt. I don't know. Anyway, these are artists all from the state of Kentucky, from the Bluegrass State.
All right, we're going to start with Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton.
When was this song released? It's recent.
Not that recent.
I think maybe last year.
No.
What?
No, no. Pre-pandemic.
This song is not 10 years old, but I think it's 5 years old.
It's quickly become
2015.
Yeah. It's quickly become
15.
The go-to
it's
karaoke song.
Dog.
Yeah. It's become the karaoke song of choice. If you're trying to impress people, you sing Tennessee Whiskey.
This is a great song. This is a play. I won't pretend to be more of a Stapleton fan than I am. I should be more of one. I would definitely go to a show of his if offered the opportunity. And like, this is his song that gets worn out, but it's like, it's a dang good song. I mean, it's a play. So yes, absolutely play.
Hayes Permar.
There are a lot of good options to pick between. Just off the top of my head from Kentucky, what's the next song of choosing?
The Way I've Always Been, Tom T. Hall.
I took your picture from the table.
It is the Bluegrass State.
And now I'm finally home.
Tom T. Hall, I think, is a Louisville guy. Could be wrong on that.
I was going to say, I've never heard of Tom T. Hall, but, you know, there was a banjo in it, so I was willing to listen. And it sounds like a wistful ballad that I would thoroughly enjoy. So I don't know a lot about it, but in the sample I got, I'm going to have to go play.
Hayes Permar.
Yeah, you need to. That's a good song by Tom T. Hall. You got to look that one up. The Way I've Always Been.
What genre is he? Is he considered folk, or is he like Avid Brothers, where he's like considered kind of rocky, even though he's technically
yes.
folk? Is he bluegrass?
Yes. That's okay. The answer to that question. He's all seen right, to be a legend. I only know him because of the album cover. There was like an album cover of him in a suit, and there are a lot of things like dispersed on like a front yard, and that's what I know Tom T. Hall from. Anyway. What is the last?
I like the sound. I want to hear more Tom T.
All right, I'll text it to you. What's the last song that we have?
Billy Ray Cyrus, I Want My Mullet Back.
That's the Billy Ray song? Oh, yeah. I thought Billy Ray only had one song. And it wasn't this.
Maybe I need to hear more of this, but I'm more inclined to think I don't need to hear any more of this. That is a skip.
Hey, man.
I'm not sure if there was a Billy Ray Cyrus song that I would have played, even though, like, there is. What was his famous song?
Achy Breaky Heart, right? That was.
I was going to say, yes. I might have liked that one just on pure nostalgia, but. No, the best thing that Billy Ray Cyrus gave us at this point is obviously Miley Cyrus more than any song that he gave us. I'm a little disappointed. We're doing artists from Kentucky.
No Sturge.
We can't get the father of bluegrass, Bill Monroe in there, the High Lonesome Sound.
Oh.
Really? Not. I mean, the fact that you played two bluegrass-inspired artists, I guess, will count, so that'll be good. So
yeah, I was surprised we didn't get any Sturgill Simpson.
I'm not the most educated when it comes to country.
That's
music.
All right. And then if you were just going songs in niche Kentucky, Kentucky Woman by Neil Diamond, very underrated Neil Diamond song. She'll Get to Know You, Kentucky Woman, great song.
30-second version, Hayes. Are you out on the Carolina Hurricanes as a Stanley Cup contender after Andrei Svechnikov, we learned, out for the season?
I'm not. I'm probably looking through Kane's colored glasses, but they always were going to need people to step up in the playoffs and become playoff dudes, and that's still the case. But the fact that they didn't have an identified, this is our playoff dude that we can't win without, means that Svechnikov wasn't that guy. So in that sense, I don't feel like it eliminates him. Like, somebody's going to have a Tayshaun Prince-like run and become a Justin Williams, like, oh my gosh, I'm better in the playoffs than I regularly am. Nathan's going to have to be great. I was going to be great. And then maybe somebody else is going to have to be a playoff dude. It would have been awesome if it was Fetch, but I don't think necessarily they're done without Fetch.
Tayshaun Prince-like run is excellent on your part. All right, Permar, we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, we will. Thanks, boys.